This is a sermon from the archives of the First Congregational United Church of Christ in Algona, Iowa. Our legacy project reminds you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.
Our first reading this morning is from the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to the disciples that he must go to Jerusalem to suffer at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and scholars, and that he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Rabbi," he said, "this must never happen to you." Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, you Satan. You are trying to make me stumble and fall, for you are setting your mind not on the things of God, but of mortals." Then Jesus said to the disciples, "If you wish to become my followers, you must deny your very selves, take up your cross, and follow me. If you would save your life, you will lose it. But if you would lose your life for my sake, you will find it. For what profit show if you gained the whole world but lost yourself? What can you offer in exchange for your very life? The Promised One will come in the glory of God, accompanied by the angels, and will repay all according to their conduct. Truly I tell you, some of you standing here will not taste death before seeing the coming of the Promised One's reign." Our affirmation of faith is inside the back cover of your hymnal. Let's rise and join together in the statement of faith of our United Church of Christ. We believe in God, the Eternal Spirit, who is made known to us in Jesus our Lord, and to whose deeds we testify. God calls the worlds into being, creates humankind in the divine image, and sets before us the ways of life and death. God seeks in holy love to save all people from aimlessness and sin. God judges all humanity and all nations by that will of righteousness declared through prophets and apostles. In Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Lord, God has come to us and shared our common lot, conquering sin and death and reconciling the whole creation to its Creator. God bestows upon us the Holy Spirit, creating and renewing the Church of Jesus Christ, binding in covenant faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races. God calls us into the Church to accept the costs and joy of discipleship, to be servants in the service of the whole human family, to proclaim the gospel to all the world and resist the powers of evil, to share in Christ's baptism and eat at his table, to join him in his passion and victory. God promises to all who trust in the gospel forgiveness of sins and fullness of grace, courage in the struggle for justice and peace, the presence of the Holy Spirit in trial and rejoicing, and eternal life in that kingdom which has no end. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto God. Amen.
Our focus scripture this morning comes from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, from the 12th chapter, verses 9 through 21. As we talked before, not all of the letters that are in our New Testament that are credited to Paul were written by Paul. But this is one, as biblical scholars agree, that this is one of Paul's authentic letters. And he's been writing in this portion that we share this today, a portion of the portion to the church about transforming their lives and transforming the church. And so we pick up midway through this section, as Paul writing to the church in Rome. And invite you to pay close attention to his instruction. Love should be shown without pretending. Hate evil. And hold on to what is good. Love each other like the members of your own family. Be the best at showing honor to each other. Don't hesitate to be enthusiastic. Be on fire in the Spirit as you serve God. Be happy in your hope. Stand your ground when you're in trouble and devote yourselves to prayer. Contribute to the needs of God's people and welcome strangers into your home. Bless people who harass you. Bless and don't curse them. Be happy with those who are happy and cry with those who are crying. Consider everyone as equal and don't think that you're better than anyone else. Instead, associate with people who have no status. Don't think that you're so smart. Don't pay back anyone for their evil actions with evil actions, but show respect for whatever everyone else believes is good. If possible, to the best of your ability, live at peace with all people. Don't try to get revenge for yourselves, but leave room for God's anger. It is written, "Revenge belongs to me. I will pay it back," says God. Instead, if your enemy is hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them a drink. By doing this, you will pile burning coals on fire upon their heads. Don't be defeated by evil, but defeat evil with good. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I really enjoy watching old television show reruns. You know, the black and white ones. You know, back when most of us, if not all of us, were kids. They're all over the place. Leave It to Beaver, Father Knows Best. What else? Andy Griffith. You ever watch Andy Griffith? You watch those reruns? One of my favorite Andy Griffith episodes is when there's a rash of cow rustling, of cow stealing going on in the Mayberry community. And they just can't figure out, you know, what's going on. And the mayor, of course, is on Andy's case. You know, we got to solve this. You know, we got to get this solved. And the mayor, of course, goes over Andy's head and he calls in somebody from the State Bureau of Investigation and they come out and they go out to this farmer's farm and they find footprints. Three sets of footprints. And so they take plaster castings of the footprints. And the thing that they notice is that the three thieves always walk in a line, one behind the other. So Andy, he sets this trap, because he thinks he knows who's doing it. So he sets this trap at the farmers, one of the farmers in the community, who says, "Well, there's, you know, your prize cow, and hope nobody steals that." Well, the culprit overhears this, and so Andy goes out to the farm with the plaster casts, and they wait for this guy to show up and steal the cow. Okay. So here comes the mayor and the guy from the Bureau of Criminal Investigation and Andy. They're in the living room and Andy has these footprints laid out one behind the other. And he says, "You notice anything about these?" And the mayor says, "No." He says, "Well, here's the three thieves, but where are the prints of the cow?" And the mayor gets this puzzled look and he says, "Well, I don't know." Andy says, "Well, you know, it could be three thieves' footprints, or it could be one thief, and the other four footprints are the prints of the cow." And the mayor looks at him and says, "Shoes on a cow? Impossible." Sounds impossible, doesn't it? You think you could put shoes on a cow? Have fun doing that. But Paul's letter contains some pretty impossible advice to the church in Rome. Associate with those who have no status, live peaceably with all, Don't think you're so smart. Be nice to people who harass you. The list goes on. Pretty hard to do, wouldn't it be? Even today, these instructions to the church in Rome, then and now, and keep in mind, when we read the Bible, it's not written to us. The authors of the scriptures in the Bible, the books of the Bible, were not writing to us. They were writing to the people in their time, living in their circumstances. But they fit just as well for us. That same advice, most of it, not all of it, most of it, speaks to us just as clearly today as it did some 2,000 years ago or whenever those books were written. As impossible as Paul's advice sounds to the church in Rome, it sounds to the world and to the church today in a lot of circumstances. But Paul is laying out how a disciple lives and moves in a world that calls out, shows us day in and day out how to do exactly the opposite. Paul's advice to the church then and to us today is both individual and collective. We, the church, we've got this mastered now, don't we? Yeah, right. We still struggle with it within and without the walls of this of any congregation. In fact, it sounds so impossible. And maybe you've read lately, there are some of our so-called faithful brothers and sisters and siblings who are criticizing Jesus' teachings. I read online this last week that some in the church, in the Christian faith, mind you, and just for example, take Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, are criticizing that. It's too weak. The very basic teachings of Jesus are too weak for this day and age. You should just discount them. Toss them aside. It's disturbing, isn't it? But it's happening. And yes, his teachings sometimes seem impossible, too weak. But we are called again and again to live in that way, to do the things that Jesus has taught. And it's not easy, and we get criticized for it. It seems impossible to do those things, but it's the cross that Jesus invites all of us to bear. The piece that we shared together. Did you notice Paul, part of Paul's instructions? If possible, to the best of your ability, do these things. It doesn't mean that anything goes. That we're to accept everything that is we encounter. But to live in the faithful way that Jesus lived, that Paul calls the church to live in. As we gather around this table this morning, we can remember the life that Jesus lived, the things that he taught, the way that he did things, and asked, called, if you will, his followers to live as well. And yeah, it does sound impossible, and it is hard. But the rest of the Andy Griffith story, there's a disturbance out in the barn. They run out. Here comes the culprit in tow behind Andy with two pairs of dirty, muddy shoes slung over his shoulder. He had been putting shoes on the cow. It's not impossible. Shoes on a cow? It's possible. So is living in the manner that Paul encourages. The one who invites us to this table shows us the way. May it be so.
This broadcast is part of the Legacy Project of the First Congregational United Church of Christ of Algona, Iowa, where we continue to remind you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.